Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Welcome to Smartless. We just want everyone to know that we got so lucky that we interviewed Kamala Harris the day before she was announced on the ticket as a vice presidential candidate with Joe Biden. So we interviewed her on Monday, the 10th. She was put on the ticket on the 11th. The interview you're about to hear, I guess, would be the last interview she did before she was put on the ticket, right, guys?
24 hours before it was announced, right?
Yeah, it's fresh and hot off the presses, and you will see how incredibly fun and funny she is. Here it comes.
Smart.
Gentlemen, good day. Good day. Today is a good day. Are you guys I'm a little nervous about this. Is I've told you guys who this guest is because I didn't want you guys to.
You broke protocol.
Well, I wanted us to get our nerves out of the way first because while we've had some very big guests on the show, you look ready.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, I want to impress her.
I don't expect you guys to be fully prepared. I've got some softball questions. I've got a couple of hard hitters. Mm-hmm. We're going to figure out kind of what the vibe is. But this is a big week, for her and our country. So I'm stunned that she said yes. And I'm glad that she hasn't gotten a phone call yet this morning where she needs to cancel because – as we will repeat when we're talking to her, today is Monday, August 10th, and we may find out today who is on the ticket.
With Joe Biden, yeah.
Could be her. So,
did you ever, Jason, want to be a public servant of any kind or run for anything? Because I think you'd be really good.
Or a private servant. Would you consider being a private servant?
Well, what's the rate? How long's the drive? Where do you guys live?
Pretty close to you. You know where I live.
Okay, sure. I guess, can I have nights off?
Let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
I don't really aspire to public office, but...
What about you, Will?
Would I ever consider being Prime Minister of Canada? Yeah.
Yeah.
Would they elect me? Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me ask you a question. What's the capital of...
Judicious.
Of Iran?
Tehran. So, listen.
What's the capital of Germany?
The capital of Germany is now Berlin. West Germany, it used to be Bonn.
You're an idiot. You're an
spell
idiot.
Bonn.
You're so dumb.
B-O-N-N. True story.
Where's the umlaut?
There is none.
Where's the accent aigu?
That's French. Any more questions? I mean, this is, is batting 1,000 a good average?
I gave you the easiest damn.
That's true.
That's pretty good.
And it is true also about Bonin anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know.
Well, you know, it's a perfect time to bring on somebody who can actually answer all of our questions about all of this.
Yes, good idea, Sean. Okay, gentlemen, without any further ado... Senator Kamala Harris.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes.
This is so
cool. This is the first time I've clapped.
I'm going to clap too.
Time I've clapped on the podcast. Hi.
I think you're right. We're so excited that you said yes. My God.
So honored.
There must be nothing going on for you to say yes to doing this podcast.
It's intense. It's really intense, Jason. I mean, people are suffering out there. People are suffering.
You know, I met you one time a while ago. You were so wonderful to have like a special intimate evening at some place. I don't know where it was.
Really special for you, I guess.
Yeah.
You don't even remember where it was.
Well, it was like a hidden location.
Jesus, Sean.
You were so eloquent and so well-spoken and so intelligent. It was just incredible to hear you speak. And I walked up to you afterwards and you're like, so if anybody has any ideas, of course, my ideas are horrible. And I walked up to you and your assistant was like, I'm sorry, Miss Senator Harris, she has somewhere to be right now. So if you could make it quick, I go, no, I'm busier. I'm going to leave first. I have to go first. I'm much busier than she is. As a matter of fact, I'm going to end this conversation and leave first. I have to go. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to be the last one in the room.
No.
Ever.
What was your idea, Sean? It sounds like it was a great idea.
It was so bad, I can't. It's embarrassing.
Only blue M&Ms.
Well, red, white, and blue. Red, white, and blue.
There you go. Sure. There you go.
So we usually don't know when we're going to air certain episodes. There's smarter people in our group that make those decisions. But obviously, we're going to air this as soon as we can. So for the listener, we are recording this on August 10th. Today is Monday. There's this thing that Trump was talking about yesterday about his executive order and stuff like that. And without getting into all the sort of the weeds of that, it seems to me that as brief as his executive order was, there were still some salient points in there that all of you guys need to understand, read, digest. Who does that? How can you possibly read every single thing that you need to know about so that no crafty sort of like in the small print gets pushed through something that you guys might say yes to? So like, is there a huge staff of readers that then break it all down for you guys? Is that, am I close?
Absolutely right. And some of these now what Trump did is not a bill. It's an executive order. It's basically a memo. So there's a whole issue with that in terms of the legal effect of what he's done and does he actually constitutionally have the power to do what he did. Mm. But putting that aside, in bills, you're right. I mean, they can be thousands of pages sometimes and the details matter every time. So, yes, there are staffs of very smart people who are familiar with the language, familiar with how a word will be interpreted based on how it's always been interpreted. And they will work around the clock scanning through and actually reading through each of those documents. But, you know, sometimes the loopholes are well disguised. And so you could see in the PPP, for example. So in the Paycheck Protection Program that we instituted that was intended to give relief to small businesses.
Yeah.
And so many small businesses, real small businesses, did not get the benefit of it because they don't have the relationship with the fancy banker, right? They're not on a first name basis with the banker. They may go to a community bank. They don't have lines of credit. And you know, 90% actually of minority and small women-owned businesses did not get the benefit of the PPP for that very reason. So the details do matter. And what we try to do, certainly what I try to do, is when we have figured out that there's a hole in it or a loophole, fix it for the next time.
And you must, your years, obviously, as an attorney, as a prosecutor, helped you. That's what you do, right? You kind of, on the fly, have to look at stuff. And Jason, it befuddles him. It took him 3 days to, when he guest starred on Silver Spoons, to get through a 30.
Yeah, these are tough. It's left to right, top to bottom, right, is the way that the reading goes.
Right.
But it's not just that you have to digest it, but you really have to take it in and really, you know, take a position and understand what it is and what the implications are of every specific point on a micro and macro simultaneously, all these things. I mean, these are big issues. These aren't just little sort of trivial. These are life and death, especially like you were saying, for small businesses, et cetera. This is make or break moments right now.
You're totally right. So for example, the issue of the United States Postal Service, right? Mm-hmm. So you guys may have heard that's one of the biggest issues right now that is weighing on people, which is that this administration is basically cutting the budget of the United States Postal Service. So what does that mean? So I actually sent out a question to all of my Twitter followers and online folks. And I said, tell me how, if you own a small business, how is this impacting you? Whoa. Mm-hmm. These small businesses, they have a product that they sell and they ship it out and they say, promise you overnight delivery. It's not getting there overnight. Right. So then what ends up happening? Their Yelp score starts going down because people are like, they say it's going to be overnight, but it's not. Don't get this product. Right.
Right.
They end up having to pay reimbursement for people or late fees. All of this not of their doing. So it is hurting, I mean, tragically hurting small businesses.
In real time.
While we're supposed to be propping up the economy and small businesses.
And the reason that they're using the Postal Service is because it is not free, but ostensibly cheaper than some of the private carriers, the FedExes, the UPS, the DHL.
And Jason, historically reliable. I mean, this is one of the great public institutions we have, mm-hmm. is the Postal Service, where everyone, regardless of your income, has a guaranteed access to communication and to commerce, not based on how much money you have, but, you know, everyone is charged the same rate.
So, and it's the sort of the cynical view that I've taken the last couple of days, amongst other people, I'm not alone in this, is that, of course, at the root of this, at the heart of this is, I love the argument that the Postal Service loses X million dollars a year. Well, yeah, of course, it's not there. you know, my kids cost me money. My friend was saying, he tweeted the other day, my kids cost me money, but I don't get rid of them. You know, that's the price of doing, this is what we do. It's a service that's provided to people.
It's not a profit department.
Yeah. Yes,
and
right.
And it's part of our democracy.
It's part of our democracy and the ability for people to transact, people who don't have the same, in the same way the moms. But also that the cynical point I was going to say was that this is just another arm or tentacle of voter suppression, ultimately.
Yeah,
for sure.
A brazen one. It's not even subtle.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say, Jason. It's not even like subtle. It's like...
I mean, yeah, so here's the thing. I'm always welcoming anybody, including, of course, the private sector that wants to step up and support our democracy in any way possible. But I also believe that there are certain essential government functions that should not be privatized. And one of them is the Postal Service. Mm-hmm. The others are public education, public health, and public safety. They should just not be privatized. We do not want people to have a profit motive in order to deliver basic and essential services to the American people.
Yeah.
Because if you attach a profit motive, you will see that those who have will do better, and those who do not have will do worse. So that's where I go.
You know, so when he's doing stuff like this, I'm sure like everyone else sits there and thinks, A, why do we have to take it? Is there some sort of countermeasure that we can do absent waiting until November? Like, can we even make it there? And, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is this 25th Amendment thing that was floated around a while ago. And I just wonder, what else would need to be on the plate for whomever exercises the 25th Amendment? I believe it's cabinet. What else do they need to see? Is disassembling these federal departments, there's this outrageous economic disaster. He's committing this political suicide for himself, for his party, and obviously overseeing the death of, what, like one American a minute. So what else would you write in some horrible fantasy about what would need to be on the plate that would motivate a 25th Amendment? I just don't get it.
I think what you're speaking to are what we designed as the checks and balances in our government so that where there was abuse of power by any one branch, there would be a commensurate check on that abuse of power. One could argue, though, that we have been in the midst of a constitutional crisis in that those checks and balances have not been reinforced, meaning that we have seen abject abuse of power by the executive branch and this president, Donald Trump. But Congress as a whole has not held him accountable because it takes both the House and the Senate to do a lot of the things that actually would enforce that accountability. And right now, the Senate is run by a bunch of folks who are doing his bidding. Yep. And so that's why I really do go to the point of the election, which is in less than 3 months.
But we're going to lose another 150,000 people by then.
Well,
you know?
But this is where the accountability also it rests in, I think, the greatest power in our country, which is the people. Mm-hmm. The people. And the people have great power. And I think they always are ultimately the check on an imbalance or an abuse of power within our systems. And so that means getting people registered to vote. It means emphasizing early voting because I am concerned about the manipulation of the U.S. Postal Service. We don't want ballots being counted weeks after the election because it's predictable that this guy will create incredible chaos. Look, there are going to be a lot of obstacles. Let's start with the fact that the United States Supreme Court in 2013 gutted the Voting Rights Act and took the teeth out of it, the teeth that were in place to track states that had a history of suppressing the vote, in particular the black vote. And what happened after 2013 is in at least 24 states, the state legislatures put in place rules that were about suppressing or deterring people of color, students, indigenous voters from actually voting. So that obstacle is here. I serve on the Senate Intelligence Committee. Believe me and the United States intelligence community, Russia interfered in the election of the President of the United States in 2016, and they will do it again.
Are doing it, right?
Thank you to one of our new sponsors, My Mochi Ice Cream, for supporting the show. I just discovered cookies and cream, My Mochi Ice Cream, and I was going to say I'm a little obsessed, but I'm a lot obsessed. Do you not know what My Mochi Ice Cream is? Picture this. is a perfect little scoop of rich, creamy, premium ice cream wrapped in the softest, sweetest dough known to mankind. My Mochi ice cream is sweet, it's chewy, it's cool, it's creamy, all at the same time. It comes in tons of fabulous flavors like strawberry, mango, cookies and cream, and double chocolate. That cookies and cream, I've always been a cookies and cream fan, but then when I had the My Mochi, oh my gosh, I mean, I was like, my mouthy loved it. First of all, an absolute knockout. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned mochis that are gluten-free and about 90 calories each. You can find My Mochi at Target or go to mymochi.com to find your nearest grocery store. Discover the cool, creamy, joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream today. Thank you to Organic Valley for supporting the show. I'm just finishing up a little cottage cheese here. See, the thing is, I'm always on the hunt to find the best dairy products. But so many options out there. Which one do you choose? With Organic Valley, you can feel good choosing their dairy products. Their products are ethically sourced from small family farms where cows spend lots of time grazing outside on organic pasture. Organic Valley Dairy doesn't come from those big factory farms. Their farmer families are real people who care about people, animals, and nature. It just tastes better. You can taste the organic. For me, look, I'm a coffee guy, okay? Guilty as charged. Every morning, I do the same thing, which is I come downstairs, I make my coffee, and the thing that this so important ingredient is my half and half. And I just happen to choose Organic Valley half and half, even before they started supporting the show. I mean, talk about a match made in dairy heaven. And I also happen to enjoy their eggs and their butter and their other products too. So I was going to say, so sue me, but so don't sue me. When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you enjoy a great tasting organic dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals they call it home. And do not ask me to convert that to hectares. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop.
Hey, Smartless listener, we get support from Viator. You know, Scotty and I took a vacation many years ago. We geeked out because we liked the movie Amadeus, and we went to Austria, and it was fantastic. We went to all Mozart's kind of hangout places, and I know, total nerdville, but it was pretty cool, and I absolutely loved it. It will always be one of our favorite memories of vacationing, so maybe one of the most perfect experiences we've ever had traveling. And so next time you're looking to plan the perfect trip like that, an experience, check out Viator. Viator is a tool you can use to plan and book travel experiences around the world. Their app and website make it easy to explore 300,000 plus travel experiences so you can discover what's out there no matter where you are traveling or what you are interested in. Feel better about your travel decisions by checking out real traveler reviews to get the inside scoop from others who have already checked out the experiences. Viator offers 24/7 customer service so you know you'll get support at any hour if things aren't going as planned. Plus, free cancellation to help you plan for the unexpected. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Can I ask you a question? So, you know, we talk about voter suppression, and ultimately, and I know that it is across all people of color are affected by it, but ultimately we're talking about suppressing the black vote. Ultimately, that's the biggest percentage, right? That seems to be, that's where the target is for the Republican Party at large.
And the Russians. The intelligence community's investigations showed us that the Russians also targeted black voters.
But are they doing that in order to aid Trump and or whomever it is, and or Republicans in the Senate, because it's much more advantageous to them to have?
Or is it just an ideological difference?
So here's the problem that I see, and overall it is this. The government was designed to be there, in particular when the people are in need, to support them and lift them up and carry them through moments of crisis like this. Mm-hmm. And there has been an abject failure. Mm-hmm. You can look at it across the board. You look at it with a president who, from the beginning, called the coronavirus a hoax and muzzled public health professionals and did not put in place the Defense Production Act to make sure that we would have U.S. manufacturing of everything from masks to ventilators. You can look at it when the president has his attorney, Bill Barr, who's supposed to be the people's attorney, the attorney general, in court right now, trying to get rid of the Affordable Care Act that will, when they get rid of it, take away healthcare from over 20 million people in the midst of a public health crisis.
Not to mention the evictions.
Right. Yeah. And so, I mean, these are the reasons I say that we have to really see that right now the American people need their government to work. They need an extension of unemployment benefits. Democrats have been fighting for this. People, 30 million people right now are on unemployment, either because they are unemployed or underemployed. Why do I say underemployed? Because we have a lot of people in our country right now, a lot of people who work 2 and 3 jobs on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's nuts.
We have to elect Joe Biden the next president of the United States.
Yeah, of course. That's a done deal.
And we have to do that for so many reasons that are about, one, correcting course around the economy, around the public health crisis, but also restoring some integrity to our government and its highest offices.
Do you think there's the threat of complacency among voters because the Republicans are saying that there's voter suppression, the Democrats are saying the post office is going to be, you know, corrupt? Both sides are kind of saying this is so much is against us. Why bother go out and vote? Do you think there's a lot of that, and how do we combat that?
We have to believe in the power and the beauty of our democracy and our country and the ideals upon which we were founded. I will tell you, my motivation always is not to fight against something, it's to fight for something, to fight for the strength of who we are and the ideals of who we are.
Right.
And I just want to go back to Will's point for a second. Will, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the broader point, and I'd love to hear your opinion on this.
You're correcting me because I'm Canadian?
Yeah, what kind of? okay. Would you agree that the big difference between Republicans and Democrats, sort of their ideology about government and what it should be doing, that Democrats, and this is to overly simplify everything, Democrats sort of feel that government is there to help people. The Republicans feel that government is there as potentially a tool for business. And simply, there's just a difference in ideology, and that's why it's hard to find a middle ground. Is that what you find mostly when you're negotiating between sides?
I'll say this. There are good Republicans, there are bad Democrats. Okay, so I'm not going to paint everyone with a broad brush, but this is what I will say. Democrats, as a general matter, believe that government should be robust enough to, yes, help people who are in need and to uplift the American people. And you look, by contrast, at some of the hypocrisy around generally what has been some rhetoric from the Republican Party. For example, they'll always talk about deficits. But if you track every presidential administration, it has been the Republican administrations that have built up the deficit, not Democratic administrations.
Right.
For example, even in this administration, they passed a tax bill, guys, benefiting the top 1% and the biggest corporations of America. And it's going to contribute, it's estimated $1 trillion to the deficit for the richest people who don't need it. Meanwhile, in America, even before this pandemic, in 99% of the counties in America, if you are a minimum wage worker working full time, you cannot afford market rate for a one-bedroom apartment. Look at where we are in the midst of this coronavirus, where it's estimated over the next month, 20 million renters will not be able to pay their rent. 15 million homeowners will not be able to pay their mortgage. And so what we're looking at is the difference of opinion, because what I have seen out of the Republican Party since I've been in the Senate these last 3.5 years is it's all about deregulation. It's about taking away the teeth from the EPA, which is about saying, let's bring down greenhouse gas emissions, because guess what? We all need to breathe clean air. It's been about deregulation of industries, including coal and oil. Again, same point, right? It has been about putting Betsy DeVos, are you kidding me, in the Secretary of Education?
Yeah.
And to continue to try and privatize education. as opposed to invest in our children. And when we as Democrats talk about it, it's not about cost, it's about investment. You want to look at our friends in the private sector. You know those who are most successful? The ones who don't ask what's it going to cost, they ask what is the return on my investment?
Right.
That's how Democrats think. What's right. the return on the investment? You invest in the American people, you will win every day of the week.
Yeah.
Jason brought up this idea of this sort of the ideological divide, and what is that? First of all, I think that's true, that that's used to be what it is, but the Republicans have played the greatest trick, which I always talk about or think about, which is, first of all, they always talk about a small government, and people don't know what they're talking about. You ask somebody on the street, well, I vote Republican because I want small government. You don't know what you're talking about. George W. Bush had the biggest government in the history of this country, and yet he claimed that that's what he wanted. Okay, so then you have what they managed to do is consistently convince the people who will benefit the least from these programs, from them being in power, to vote for them. People who are going to suffer, people who aren't going to be able to receive any benefits, and all these things, and they've consistently convinced these people along different lines. And the people that are doing it, they've this conservative movement that started, 45 years ago, this sort of handful of guys. This is a concerted effort that's been going on for a few generations to get to the point where we're at today. And again, it's a very sort of dystopian view that these guys or that we're kind of living in now, where they have created this. The gap has never been greater between the haves and the have-nots.
That's right.
And it's all by design. That's what's so scary. All of it's by design. Trump is just doing his bidding of the guys like the Sheldon Adelsons and all these guys. This is by design. And that's what's scary. And that's what people in this country need to be afraid of.
And the people of this country need to really ask the question, which they do every day. And I think this election is going to give them the answer. Who is standing by working people in America? Working people. People who work hard every day, if they're working one job or three jobs. People who just want others to recognize the dignity of their work and their labor. Folks who just want to know, if I work hard and I do the right thing, am I going to be able to keep a roof over my head and not worry about it? Am I going to be able to feed my kids and not worry about it? Am I going to be able to take a vacation once a year? And whatever. And just standing by working people. How do you do that? You have affordable child care. You have paid family leave. You do not try to destroy organized labor, but you support organized labor and collective bargaining.
Right.
You support a public education system and fund it instead of right now, which is that public teachers, when school was, in normal session, 2/3 were coming out of their own back pocket to help pay for school supplies.
Yeah.
Right?
Can I ask a question about California, because we all live in it, and it's, correct me, it's the third largest economy, what, in the world?
It's about fifth.
Fifth,
yeah.
Okay, fifth. And so I keep reading about, every year in California, there's a drought.
Yeah.
So California, fifth largest economy, when are we going to figure out how to desalinate water or whatever
so that
every year there's not like this crazy shortage? And these articles I'm reading about, water's the next thing for these business people.
I'm so glad you brought this up. Listen, this is one of my big, big, big areas of concern, water. Okay, so here, to your point, for generations, wars were fought over oil. In a matter of years, wars will be fought over water.
Yeah, so let's do something.
And it is a diminishing resource. As a daughter of California, having gone through many droughts, I've experienced this thing personally. But to your point, we need to have water policy that invests in the storage of water, right? The capture of water, desalination, recycling, conservation. And to do these things is to be smart. And guess what? The other thing about it is, to do a lot of that, it requires building up the infrastructure around it for capture and storage. That's jobs.
Yeah, right.
That's the creation of jobs.
Right.
You want to talk about plumbers, that's the building trades jobs. That's carpenters. That's bricklayers. That's all of the folks who actually can do the work that is about also protecting our environment and a diminishing resource, which is water.
Yeah, because I'm kind of an idiot, if you haven't gathered. And I'm looking to my left where the beach is, and I'm like, wait, most of the earth is water. Let's figure this out, people.
This was this weekend that you realized that, right?
I'm exhausted.
So, all of these like great ideas, and I say great because I'm not smart enough to think of a more exciting term, like the whole water issue. If we are fortunate enough to hold on to the House, win the White House, and take the Senate, can we unilaterally do all of these great common sense things? Can we do anything we want?
Here's the thing that I hope. I hope that we don't have to do it alone. So many of these issues are issues that impact everyone, and they really at their core are not even bipartisan, they're nonpartisan. What we need to do to build back up our economy and invest in infrastructure, right? America's infrastructure is 125, 150 years old. Everybody will benefit from building back up our infrastructure, and that's a ton of jobs. In fact, Joe Biden has great policies around that. What we need to do around investment in our public schools. Listen, our babies, K through 12, could give a you-know-what who we voted for in the last election. They just want to be able to go to school, you know, when we can get past this pandemic in particular, and get an education that allows them to reach the capacity that they, that, you know, their God-given talents. These are the things that I hope we can actually agree on in a bipartisan way and deal with and put aside the ideology and just get to fixing some of these problems that are really practical.
Are you guys testing yet at the Senate? You guys don't have testing, do you?
You're right. We don't have a system for testing.
And
well, because guess what? The administration doesn't have a national system for testing.
What?
It's all, let's start there. We need to have a national system for testing. We need to have a national system for contact tracing.
But you would think that you guys being a vital and essential group of workers in this country, to say the least, you would think that the House and the Senate would have testing at least once a week, free and available to you guys. There's got to be a reason why you guys said, no, we're not going to do that.
I mean, I wasn't a part of that decision, but I'll tell you this. I do feel that members of Congress shouldn't get the benefit of something before the American people get it.
Yeah, for sure.
And on this subject, the president should follow through on a statement he made months ago, which is everyone who wants a test can get it, because that's just not the case in America right now. And that's why we see these surges. And also, we need immediate tests, right? So that you actually get the result within hours of taking the test, because getting it 7 and 10 days later, it does no one any good, because you're exposed to the virus even if you were negative at the time you took the test.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/smartlist to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/smartlist. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challenger, starring Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who has taken her husband Art and transformed him into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. Her strategy takes a turn when he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Past and present collide and tensions run high. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at ChallengersMovie.com.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I'd just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity,
that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you. Like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen to Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more, Wondery means business.
I want to switch gears a little bit. What is fame like for you? I would imagine that your times to the grocery store have been easier in years past. Are you still doing your own marketing?
Yes.
You are?
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to 24-hour fitness to do your workouts,
well,
right?
Well, nobody can anymore. All the gyms shut down. Right. You want to know what I did during the virus? I got a little fold-up bike, and then I was using water bottles as my weight.
Well, you need to stock those water bottles.
But how do you enjoy that?
I love people. I love people.
But it can be, you know, everybody's got a camera on their phone. And so when you're out, do they all line up to take pictures? And how do you have a method, a strategy to be polite yet keep
going? I
want
to see you get in a fight with a no-masker on camera.
Let me tell you something, and I'll tell you this about campaigning also. I mean, I love campaigning. I say that campaigning, you meet the angels walking among us, like people who are just quietly doing really great things without any requirement of fame or, yeah, or notoriety.
Thank you.
Good people. And I mean, that's what, back to the earlier point, that's what gives me my optimism. We can't let the bad guys ruin the day, right? There are so many good, wonderful, incredible people. And it is they who, you know, motivate me. And listening to their stories, if I see them at the grocery store or wherever, that also motivates me.
But Jason, because you take it pretty, you once got in a fight with a paparazzi guy outside of the Rolls Royce dealership. And I think that for you was a seminal moment.
Yeah, he was getting in the reflection. I was trying to really check out the paint. And I'm like, buddy,
yeah,
I can't.
Yeah.
All right, here's a real hard-hitting series of questions.
Okay.
Candle or incense?
Candle.
Oh. Football or basketball?
Basketball.
Oh. Fleetwood Mac or Steely Dan?
Steely Dan.
Very nice choice. Stevie Wonder or Marvin Gaye?
Oh, I can't do that.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Skiing, yes, or surfing?
I could, you know, probably surfing.
Uh-huh. Sean Hayes or Will Arnett?
Can't say. That's really,
you can
difficult,
hold that till the end of the interview.
That's really,
because right
difficult
now I think they both have won a series of rounds.
Blink once if it's me.
Clippers or Lakers?
Warriors, thank
Golden
you.
Golden State Warriors, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Mm-hmm. Well, so A's or Giants?
Oh, that's hard for me. I mean, Giants, but A's, you know, I was born in Oakland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It's tough. You're not a Nationals fan yet, are you?
No.
Yeah,
I think one should be loyal to one's team. Mm-hmm.
What in the world do you do for fun? Because, like, is it nonstop 24 hours a day doing what you're doing?
I love to cook.
What specifically? And don't say boiling pasta.
I mean, no, everything. I, you know, I'm always kind of exploring new recipes. But, you know, I mean, my go-to, I can do, like, a great roast chicken. Or there's a bolognese that I make for 4 hours.
Wow.
That,
wow,
I cook for 4 hours. So it's a full range.
Now, is this something that you kind of learned during COVID? You like took some cooking classes, or is it something you've, your whole life,
no,
you loved it?
My whole life. My mother was a great cook, and I just kind of learned at her, you know, by her side. I love to cook. I love
Will
to cook.
Will makes a mean frozen pizza.
Sean likes to cook too. Sorry, I mean, Sean likes to talk to cook, and he'll say, hey, can you make me?
But you know what? That's it. My mother, when I was very young, she was like, kid, you like to eat good food. You better learn how to cook.
Yeah, right.
Oh, right, man, I wish we had cooking in my house. My mother's British, so, you know, there's not a long list of great cooks coming out of that country. So
that's
I'm still still trying to get the boiling pasta stuff down. That's hard for me.
Yeah. Also, Jason said the same thing verbatim to his therapist like 2 hours ago.
This is why I have a lot of those frozen pizzas.
But Amanda cooks, though, doesn't she?
Well, we don't do a lot. We just sort of just go around and kind of pick things out of our kids' hair. That's all.
Wait, Kamala, do you and Doug cook together?
Yeah, Doug is my sous chef. And so we got to the point where I was like, honey, you should just like master 3 different things and then just make those all the time. And so that's kind of where we are. And I gave him that advice that one time that he was cooking and I was under the fire alarm fanning with my briefing documents for like 5 minutes. It was just like, we got to figure out a different process.
Oh, I see a reality show in your future. I love it.
Can I ask you a question? So let's all hope that Joe wins, Joe Biden wins in November. And I really hope that you're a big part of that. And can you just make me a promise right now that if that happens as a Canadian, that you'll reach out to the Canadians and say, hey, listen, I'm sorry. I know we've been a little abusive lately, but we still love you and we'd love to be, because you're our closest, you're our biggest trading partner, you're our closest friend.
Of course.
Because Canadians feel very like we got kicked in the shin by the big brother.
What part of Canada?
I'm from Toronto.
My aunt lives in Toronto. She lives
really?
In Mississauga. Uh-huh.
No.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get her number and I'm gonna go see her next time I'm up there. Yeah. I'm gonna go see her.
We cannot thank you enough for joining us, truly. Really, really knocked us out
thank
with your
you.
Yes.
So, it's great to be with you guys. Thank
what
you.
What an honor.
Yeah,
thank awesome
you.
To
I'm
meet
a
you.
Huge honor.
Thank you. I'm a huge fan of all of your work. So
right
thank
back
you.
At you.
Yeah, thank you.
Go get them, Kamala. Thank you
all
very,
right.
very,
I'll
very
see you
much.
Guys next time.
Thank
all
you
right.
so much.
Be well.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay. Have a great
Bye.
Day.
Bye.
Who is that?
I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, no, I don't
who,
know. Sean, was
like,
that your
who
guest?
Was that?
No, that was not my guest. It was like, I recognized her from her profile, but not straight on.
By the way, this is the first interview I think you've done without snacking, and I think your outfit's a little bit better, too, and everything.
No, I mean...
You don't want to be ambassador. You're running for ambassador.
You want to be the ambassador to Canada?
I would love to. I mean, or is it available? By the way, could I be? I think I could be, couldn't I?
No,
you
couldn't.
Could be.
Why?
Hey, so
wait,
guys.
Don't just rule it out. Like, no, you could, both of you in unison.
Yeah, there's no.
Yeah, no, I think we can do a lot better.
Don't confuse can't with shouldn't.
Yeah. It's a lot of daylight between you and a good choice. Okay.
Oh.
Hey, so how great is she? I mean, she's just outstanding.
Yeah. Well, it was another great episode, Dan. She was great. Amazing person. And
yeah,
Jason,
great. I love her.
Honestly, as hard as it is for me to say, kudos. Kudos.
Kudos.
What does that mean?
Like, great job. That was an awesome, well done.
You spell it K or C.
Kudos. You never heard of kudos?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, no, that was I don't understand how we booked her, but she must think you guys are great, I suppose.
Anyway, what an episode. Love you guys.
Love you
hey,
too.
Listen, can I be the first to say, bye.
Bye.
Oh.
Smart.
If you like SmartLess, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from SmartLess to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplished something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.